B-Pod Studios.
Live from Gillette Stadium.
Touchdown, Patriots!
It's New England Patriots Training Camp 2022. Presented by Safety Insurance on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Also brought to you by United Construction and Wind Waste Innovations. Now from the practice field, Scott Solak and Mark Bertrand.
Well, happy Tuesday to you. Solak and Bertrand on an impromptu remote at Gillette Stadium.
I can say it's a called for impromptu remote.
What does that mean?
Like drastic measures, right? Drastic times call for drastic measures. Are we there? Off of yesterday's practice? Was it that bad?
Well, did the team call us in today?
No. I don't think
the level of play on the field had anything to do with our relocation today.
Well, the Heat did, but like I think we said as a show, like we got to get down there and see what the hell's going on.
I don't think that's how this happened today. Yeah. I think the Patriots were scheduled to practice at 4:00. They then decided to move their practice
with
to
rain,
noon,
right?
Because there's rain coming in, and so
that's gonna be
we
bad
then
for my practice.
Had an executive decision from the very top. Saying, get those guys to Foxborough. Get them there now. I don't think the team called us in, if that's what you were wondering.
No, I don't think the team called us in.
Come on.
I don't think team
was it so
in.
Bad there that they said, get Beadle and Zoe and Hardy to Foxborough?
Tell Solak, Bertrand, Poole, all to report to Foxborough immediately.
Get down there and tell everybody that's listening to you what the hell is going on. I don't think they want that. Based on the way it's been going.
You know who's sounding, I think, the panic button a little bit? You know who's hitting that thing?
David Andrews?
The guy who you would least expect to be hitting that button. I think Mike Reese is signaling some real issues with this Patriots team right now. In fact, it all relates to the offense here, but let's hear what Mike Reese had to say about David Andrews, who you just mentioned, and what's been going on here.
Patriots held their 10th practice of training camp on Monday afternoon, and the practice was over. And David Andrews, right out here on the field, had the offense gathered around him for an extended conversation. And it was that type of day for the offense where Andrews, one of the team's captains, a veteran leader, felt that he needed to address the unit. It was below the standard, quite frankly, for the way the Patriots have played offense in the past. And when you look at what unfolded, to me, when I watched the offense with Mac Jones in 7-on-7 drills, they looked pretty efficient. You saw some good plays. But when they went 11-on-11 and brought the offensive line in and tried to piece it all together with the running game, things really fell apart. And it really seemed like the offensive line was at the heart of the issue, which sort of led me to the thought that maybe Dante Scarnecchia, just bring him in for a fresh set of eyes, just to lay a new vision on it and maybe relay what's going on here. The frustration from Andrews was evident to me as he addressed reporters after the practice.
He wants to bring in...
Am I out?
There we go. He wants to bring in Dante Scarnecchia. David Andrews held that obvious... you heard it, the meeting that was taking place with players after the practice. And Reese is looking at this saying...
Reese wants to, not Andrews.
No, I know, but Andrews, you mentioned.
Yeah.
Andrews felt the need to pull everybody together, and then he was noticeably disappointed in how the day went. And now you've got, Reese even looking at this and having been at every practice saying, they've got to do something. This is not going to work. They better call somebody. They better call Dante Scarnecchia. Use a lifeline and call Dante. And that, to me, is drastic. That, to me, is, and I'm not saying Mike's opinion of it is drastic. I'm just saying that would be, in my mind, a drastic measure to sort of take.
Yeah.
But they may need it.
I think it is drastic at this point to bring him in, but is the personnel the issue? And that's the scariest part, because you can't just say, let's switch personnel. Let's get five new linemen. if the case is that, from what everybody says, now, I don't know that. I haven't talked to anybody that they are simplifying things. And you're going from a difficult offense, a difficult scheme, and you're making it easier, and they still can't grasp it. That's holy hell mode for me. Like, we're going to make it easy for you guys. You only got to block one guy. You block that guy. Instead of chip this guy, hold this guy till this guy gets there. Let's move up. Then you got to cut this guy down. No, it's simple. It's real easy. And you still can't get it. We're not in day one. Right? How many freaking walkthroughs you have? It's walkthrough central here. They haven't hit anybody. You got to hit Thursday night. If this is what's going on against Air, what the hell's going to happen Thursday?
They're going to get destroyed.
I gotta call that game.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried.
For the team in general?
I wasn't worried a week ago because I tagged it early, and it's going to take
worried for the year.
I'm worried for the quarterback. I'm worried for, yeah.
Big picture, you're saying.
Yeah, big picture.
2022 season.
Because I do think you got the quarterback, and I think, you know, oh, God. Well, like, and I heard Felger and Mass talk about this yesterday. And we even brought it up on our show. Like, say they get the same record as last year, 10-7, or they go 9-8. But the quarterback has a hell of a year. Looks really good. Is that good or bad?
They have to.
You know what I mean, well, that looks bad for them because quarterback's great. But holy hell, what the hell happened to the rest of the operation?
Yeah, and you didn't build around the young quarterback who looked great. You know, this is all theory.
We thought that would be a good thing.
Right, you have a young, cost-controlled quarterback who's good. You're supposed to be able to build around that and have a good roster and have a good team. I would bring up, though, that they will need to be a better team this year. As it stands right now, this is always a subject to change when you're looking ahead at the strength of the schedule. But it feels at this point in August that they would need to be a better team to match their record of a year ago. They're going to need to be improved to match their record. I don't think that they'll be able to have that same record without being a better team.
Well, I mean, you go to camps, and I've been around camps my whole life. The camps that are walkthrough type camps are veteran team camps that have experience, that know what they're doing, that you get out there and you sort of go through the motions because, you know what, we got this. We're brushing things up. We're sharpening it. We're sharpening the pencil, so to speak.
Yeah.
The scary thing is teams that are bad tend to think a lot. And that seems to be what's going on out here. Like, they're guessing, they're thinking, they're not playing, they're not reacting. And that's not good. That tends to lead to bad teams, bad play. And that scares me that Andrews keeps him out after because he knows what's going on. He's not stupid. He's been through it all. He's played at a high level in Georgia. He's played at high level here, playing championships. That guy knows it. He knows it ain't right. And, man, that's a scary thing right now. You know, with a game 2 days away.
Dante Scarnecchia, by the way, as Mike Reese is calling for his return, in the sense that he would come back and spend some time in practice, not come back as a job or get rehired or anything like that.
Consult.
But Karen Garesian of the Boston Herald. Karen.
Hello. Karen, hello.
He says this. He says, I would say this in fairness to everyone. I just think this is the wrong time to evaluate it. The pads have come on, but they're not playing real football yet. He also, by the way, admitted he has not seen a single practice. Yeah. He has not been here at all. Scarnecchia told the Herald as well and told Karen whenever they play the Giants, we'll have a better idea of where this thing is. Even at that point, it's not totally fair to say they can't do it. I think there's a three-game process at hand. And we'll have a better idea where this thing is going. What doesn't look good in training camp early has no bearing on anything. He's given a total pass saying, that's early.
He is right, but like every headline, it's 98.5 one way and 1.5 the other way. Right, literally. Like,
yeah, I would just say, Scar, speaking
what
of
a company man
of the last 20 years, I mean, Scar's seen plenty, right? He's seen plenty of football beyond the Belichick era here in New England. He's been here. He was here for how many years? What year did he get here?
He was here when I got here.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Guy just, no matter who the head coach was, he stayed on the roster of coaches. He's that good. I mean, it's been a long time since the team has sort of torn it up and started over on offense. It's been a long time since that has happened.
God, I'd love to.
And it feels more and more like that is what they're doing.
I would
love. The overhaul is maybe more significant than they were letting on. Because the players are struggling mightily. And you can see it. And we're going to see it again today. We're going to see if it improves today. They start practice at noontime today. We're live at Patriots training camp. And this hour, training camp coverage is brought to you by United Construction. So we're talking about that. Mike Reese says bring in Scarnecchia. David Andrews, not happy with the performance on the field yesterday. Scarnecchia says chill. It's early. At what point does it not become early? That's a question I have as well. What point is it no longer early? Is it after that first preseason game? We'll hear from Bill Belichick next hour. We'll get to more on this, something that Phil Perry had on it. That's all coming up here on Zolak and Bertrand from Foxborough.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand are live at Gillette Stadium for Training Camp 2022, presented by Safety Insurance on Boston's home for New England Patriots football, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What is going on with this offense?
What's really interesting to me, Trenny, is that we watch the offense operate in a 7-on-7 situation, and they go down the field, no huddle, 6 or 7 plays, jump ball touchdown to Devontae Parker. It's a thing of beauty. They are a machine. And then when they get to 11-on-11s and the offensive line comes onto the field and the defensive line comes onto the field, Tom, it all falls apart. It blows up. Run game, pass game. They worked on some third downs. Really harped on that, I felt, today. And so offensively, it's almost all pass game. Defensively, you're allowed to blitz a little bit. You're allowed to send some extra pressures. I don't know how many of those, if any, Tom, they picked up. But it felt like every single completion today was a chore for the Patriots offense.
Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston. And, of course, you hear him from time to time here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, as you also hear Mike Reese. Those guys are sounding the alarm on how bad the offense has been. This isn't us doing this, by the way.
No.
Right?
This no, is not, honest, like I've seen.
This is not the hot takers of sports media.
No.
We're saying this now. It's pretty unanimous. The people that cover the team and are seeing this day in and day out who have covered – between them all, how many training camps have they covered down there in that tent? And it's noticeable. It's pretty noticeable. There's some issues here. And everyone does tag it with the, yeah, it's early. But at what point is it not early anymore? After you play your first preseason game, it's not early anymore. And that's coming up soon.
You're
days
a month
away.
I mean, you're a month away. You're a month away from real football.
Yeah.
And you got 3 preseason games. You get a little break there. Then you get to clear house a little bit, get your real team together, and figure out potentially what the hell you're going to be.
Get ready for a lot more of that week one of the regular season is an extension of the preseason, if things keep going in this direction.
Oh, I think
we're gonna hear plenty of that.
I heard Phil suggest the other day. And by the way, I've always said that without Tom Brady, you don't get to do that in the NFL.
Not anymore.
No team in the league gets to do that in the NFL without some exception, and the Patriots' exception was Tom Brady and how well they always played down the stretch.
Exactly.
How unbeatable they had become at one point in time late in the season. They couldn't do it.
And I'm not saying the team is going to say that. I'm not saying that Bill, who I know he's been credited with or that, you know, that terminology has been applied to him before. Maybe he's even said it. I don't think he would say it this year. I don't think that, you know, there's any fooling anybody. I don't think the team would be, but there'll be plenty of Patriots fans will say, like, oh, it's all right, you know, a week or two, you know, work out the kinks. No, you just said it's out with this schedule and the team where they are and your division and who you have on your schedule later in the season. No, you are not afforded the luxury of working out the kinks and having things not really be gelling for the first couple few weeks. I mean, every team is going to, you know, presumably get better and iron out some wrinkles, but you've got something going on here with your offense, apparently, that is beyond a wrinkle. It's not a kink. It's not a hiccup. It's something beyond that.
I would love for somebody to sit me down in a room for an hour and explain to me, okay, this is what we're trying to do different interior-wise. Mm-hmm. Here's our five linemen. Here's the five guys they're blocking. Here's the way we blocked it prior. This is the new way, which is simpler, but they can't pick it up. That's the boneheaded part of it for me that I just can't grasp. You see us every day. We're down here. We kind of watch practice. It's on an angle here. I do see some things. But I've watched about, what, half the practices we've been here for? You know, there have been weekend practices. We haven't been down here as a show. But to sit here and say that it's going to be a complete disaster, I can't do that yet. But
maybe
I
not
am.
Complete disaster. But that might be too strong. But here's the thing. You say a month to go, right?
Yeah.
So you go from struggling and making it a real chore to complete a single pass, as Phil Perry was describing, to a month later being functioning at a level that has you on the road at Miami, an improved team, and beating them. And by the way, the Patriots are underdogs in week one. They're the underdogs going to Miami and have the offense look good. I don't know. That feels like a little bit of a stretch right now. It's hard to envision it.
And I go back to sitting down here. We did all access with Bill, day one of camp. We were all down here for day one of camp. And in his press conference with the press.
With the press.
He talked about the extension of that phase of the OTAs. Like, this is still that. Like, this is still that extension of the phase. I never remember starting a true camp saying, yes, this is an extension of what we were prior working on in the month of June or the month of May. It was full-blown balls to the walls. We are in NFL training camp, day one install. It's let's go time. We're going 9-on-7, goal line drill day one. It's a different camp now. And maybe that's a part of it. Maybe they react to the environment, the lax environment. I mean, do you see anybody with a head on a swivel? Do you see any vicious one-on-ones going on down there?
No.
You see any Oklahoma drill?
Nope. No.
You see any goal line?
Nope.
You see any live kick coverage? No. The answers are no. And I understand you're trying to stay off the ground, take care of the bodies. Last thing you want is an injury early in camp. They're into the sports science stuff now. Bill's been doing these studies for years now, the last 3 or 4 years. Let's go back and let's look at, you know, soft tissue injuries. You know, or do we have to train differently? Do we squat differently now? Do we do bands? Do we do chains on the weights? You know, there's a reason to the madness to the way they do things. They do study that. Are they being told to do this by them? I don't know. They could go out there.
This is what I don't understand.
What?
How does being more and you've brought this up a few times. How does the team being more physical at this point in time solve their issues that they have on offense?
Because it gets you in gets fact, your head
I would,
on a swivel.
Yeah, but I would say it would make it even worse. They're having a hard time at three-quarter speed, trying to figure this out. And they're thinking a lot at that speed. If you make it faster, I think they're going to completely fail.
See how big
I think that could be disastrous in the fact that Bill's trying to keep this instructional to get these guys to understand it. And then all of a sudden, if it is more physical and they accomplish absolutely nothing in a practice, he's going to really start to lose them.
I don't know. I watch a lot of NFL Network. You know, live from training camp stuff, all the coverage they got. Willie's on site down in Tampa. This group's down in Carolina. Mooch was down there. And they're showing some of the interior work drills. And I see guys flying around, you know, thudding, getting a...
Yeah, because they know what they're doing. And they understand their offense. Okay. And they understand their defense. And it was the same thing the team was doing a season ago.
Have you seen Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett, how big these guys are? You mean to tell me it benefits you to sit here and go slowly through a walkthrough and reach and K-tag, I got you, you're good. And as opposed to those guys coming full speed off the edge in one-on-one drills or just controlled three-on-three drills, that's how you get better. You get better going live. That's the way it's always been instilled in me. The way it's always been taught to me. You always go live. We had 2 days. And I'm not trying to say we had a badass camp and this one's like just soft. And I'm not doing that. And I know football has changed and the rules have changed. And you can't go live and you have to structure practices differently. But I just remember the Parcells, like guys were going pads in the morning, pads at night. Now we're going to go shorts in the afternoon, so let's stay off the legs. But we're going to simulate blitz, you bring it, and we're still going to go down. And it's shoulder to shoulder. It's none of the shells and... You know, touch Hardy. Okay, you can't. You gotta stop rushing. I got you.
Ow!
I got you.
Ow.
Well, I got double block. I got two guys. I would go two back. Two man team. Yeah, I mean,
like they went pretty hard last Tuesday, and it it didn't go well.
They need to do that every day, every day. And eventually it clicks and you get better. See what I mean? Problem is you can't. Can't have that many padded practices. Days, that's
right?
The problem.
It was a week ago today.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, shoot, we would be at camp for 3 weeks before you see anybody. But we'd be 2 days with pads every day hitting. Can't do it anymore. That's part of it.
Pats are on the road. 3 of their first 4 games. Offense always faces challenges when going on the road.
Run the ball.
And they're going to Pittsburgh in week 2. They're going to Miami in week 1, which is going to be hot as hell. And
but you're not playing teams that are badasses there, though. You know, you're not coming out the gate and got Green Bay and Dallas sitting there.
You got Green Bay in week 4.
I know. I know, but you got Pittsburgh, who has no clue who their quarterback is right now.
And the home opener's against Baltimore, which you keep saying they're going to win, and I have that penciled in as a loss right now. They have no answer for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. I get it.
I got that penciled in as a loss.
But I haven't seen these young linebackers run in full speed yet. I want to see that. I want to see that in game mode. But I saw this stuff coming out of Miami. Tyreek Hill says he can't wait to get to Tampa because he can't get open on Xavien Howard. Xavien Howard has locked him up at camp, and he can't catch a ball. Like, okay, are they struggling on offense down there? Or is Miami's defense just that good? That's one or the other. You know?
Patriots could win week 2. Good. Pittsburgh, they don't really have much going on there.
Hey, maybe our defense is pretty freaking good.
Targeting week 2. If they start 1-3, can they recover from that and go to be a 10-win team?
Nah. Be hard to.
You're not afraid of Mitchell in week 2?
He won't be quarterback.
Think the kid's going to start?
Yeah, I think the kid's going to start.
All right. They start 1-3.
Kenny Pickett.
Yep. Again, first 4 games. At Miami, at Pittsburgh, home against Baltimore, at Green Bay.
Here we go.
First 4. Can they recover from a 1-3 start?
Oh, that's hard. That's hard to do.
So you can't have an extension of the preseason.
Wait a minute. Why do I say that?
No extension of the preseason.
They did it last year. They got the 9-4. They did it last year. Got the 9-4. Had the number 1 seed, week 13.
That's right.
They did. So I can't sit here and say you can't recover because they did it last year with a rookie.
You know what?
That's true. They just wouldn't have played Buffalo at all yet, and they'd still have the Colts on the schedule, who they got absolutely demolished by, and then they'd have to go play Cincinnati. That one's here, though.
Okay, so we'll
in Miami again, and then they have to go to Vegas, at Arizona. They got real quarterbacks and real players on this schedule.
Ah,
that bother me.
All right.
You know what's great? They're out here for what, a noon practice today?
Zoe convinced me. I think they're going to be all right.
So they either got seed or they can't be fertilizer, right? They're putting down.
Oh,
it's got to be seed. So it looks like they're overseeding the hash marks. That's got to be great for guys in cleats to come out running around.
You know, it might be.
Push it down.
Yeah,
they
might
holes.
Be doing. Second grub treatment of the season.
Nah.
Might be treating for grubs.
Yeah, no grubs here. No skunks.
Yeah, you got to get. If you do your grub treatment.
Oh, it is
too
grub.
Early.
They're waving. It is grub treatment.
Ah, yes! All right.
It is grub treatment.
All
we got 2 fist bumps.
All holy, right. He's
holy
listening.
High five.
Thank you. You want to know why? Because
right.
You do it early in the season.
We just got a double pump high five.
And you
got
to do it again right now. Am I right, sir?
Well, there's a delay.
There's so a delay.
Yes.
No. He's saying no. He's waving
here.
You off.
Now he's waving you off.
He's saying no.
All right. Could you?
Look, that's a firm no right
that's
there.
That's a firm no.
Hold on.
There it is.
No.
No, no, no.
Jim Louth is ASL certified. If you could please sign us what it is that you're treating the turf with. And then.
Is it nitrogen?
You got to wait. He's on delay.
Is it also pronounced nitrogen in the most English-speaking countries?
As opposed to
nitrogen?
First question is, could is be. It nitrogen?
Yeah. You know what they did? They probably went to Home Depot and got that stuff.
The Scott's 3-in-1?
What the hell is the name of it?
You think they're doing Scott's 3-in-1?
No.
They're doing the 4-step.
No, you get that at BJ.
You think they're doing the seed mulch fertilizer?
Maybe.
That's good stuff. Yeah. It ain't cheap, but it works.
Malorganite. This might be malorganite they're putting down.
Lime? Is it lime?
It'd be lime. No, because you don't have any pine. You know, areas of pine,
iron?
You need a lot of iron.
Give me some iron.
Give me some iron.
This is going to drive us nuts.
Oh, this is wonderful.
We got to find out what it is.
This hour of training camp coverage, which includes coverage of what's happening to get the fields ready for practice. This hour of coverage is brought to you by United Construction.
This is why we're here today.
This is exactly the good stuff.
Let's get to an extreme take on what the Patriots should do. in changing their offense if there are some players who don't fit the scheme. Pretty extreme take. And also a question for Zoe on where the Patriots stand within their division. We'll get to that next.
What do you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No one gets you into training camp like we do. Live from Gillette Stadium, it's Solak and Bertrand. Presented by Safety Insurance on Boston's home for New England Patriots football. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
By my count, they ran 26 plays. I had them making successful plays. That's 5 yards or more on 3 of 26 plays. I had the running game getting stuffed 3 times. I had 7 sacks or pressures, and there were 2 pass breakups and 1 interception of Mac Jones. I would love to come on here and tell you that things are getting a lot better and they're getting sharper and here they go, but I just can't do that. I mean, today was really, really not good by the offense, and to the point where I think this is the point where Bill Belichick has to look at things and say, do we need to change? Do we need to know? Because the crux of it is the offensive line and the blocking. Because when they go to 7-on-7, which they did at one point, they look fine. The passing offense looks fine. It's once the offensive line is on the field, once there is a defensive line on the field, they struggle. They can't block anything. I know that sounds like hyperbole, but it's not.
Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal with CLNS Media. That's what he saw and noted about the Patriots practice. Did he say 3 of 26? 3 of 26 plays went for 5 yards or more?
Yeah, but the number that stands out to me of the 26 is 7 sacks.
The pressures and sacks.
The sacks. Because I do think there are going to be times where you don't block it, but you're going to get successful gains in the running game, like your backs are good. Rhamondre Stevenson stays low to the ground. He runs hard. Damian Harris, he can turn a corner. He can run hard downhill. Again, though, no fullback. So it's going to look different.
Yeah.
And that's something to watch Thursday night, too. Is this going to be more of a downhill approach, meaning quicker hitting as opposed to read the tailbone of the fullback? We're going hole specific, whatever. But you can make a guy miss or run a guy over. You know, run stuff can end up being a 4-yard game. So I'm not worried about that yet. It's the sacks that are going to be troublesome. That means your quarterback's getting hit.
Well, he has this on Boston Sports Journal. Greg Bedard says if Belichick's really going to see this through, if he's dead set on doing it, even if it's designed to pay off next season, why not go all the way in and burn the ships by investing in the right personnel? He suggests trading away David Andrews to Tampa. He suggests getting rid of Michael Owenu, who's a heavy-footed and power guard, and it's not ideal. He suggests going all the way in, saying, is Damian Harris going to be around after this contract expires? Why not trade him? Go with Rhamondre Stevenson and the 2 rookies. He says, in many ways, the Patriots have half-assed making this switch. Didn't bring in a zone blocking expert to coach it. Or ramping down the practice reps. It's something you've been talking about. A second straight day off on Sunday, are you kidding, is what he writes. And he says, which are vital for the players to make steady progress. Half the players on the line aren't the ideal fit for the scheme. He says, if you're going to go this way for now or for next season, you might as well go all the way in. Stop with the half measures.
I love it.
Anything that says stop half measures or no half measures, I like. No half measures. You caught up, by the
Again,
way? Are you caught up? Did you watch last night?
No, I didn't watch last night, but I'm caught up until last night.
Wow. Can't talk about it.
Okay.
Can we?
No, but we'll talk. I'll watch it tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
Saul. Better Call Saul.
Talk about it tomorrow.
Second to last episode aired last night.
Nice.
Walter White famously once said, no half measures. Anyway, I don't know. That seems extreme, but I get what he's saying if he thinks this is going to go as poorly as it looks like it's going right now.
Again, live reps are invaluable. Like, I was coached differently. Like, live reps mean everything. Whether your quarterback's on full speed, the receiver running your cuts, that's a timing element. Like, you just can't go out there and say, let's throw half speed. You know, give me a little cushion out there. Nah, I want bump and run. I want full speed throws.
Put it on the 98.5 The Sports Hub website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Zo, Bill Belichick not coaching right.
So never said that.
Put that.
No, so I never said
put
that.
Put that. I mean, it all goes back to Bill, though.
It's Bill's. Yeah, it's Bill's scheme. I mean, this is his practice.
So he's not, as you've said multiple times now, he's not letting them be physical enough. He's not going fast enough. He's not doing a good job here.
All right. So as we all know, practices are scripted. You call the dogs off a little today? Let the offense look good? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, just play the mind game? Here's the problem with that. Mac Jones is too smart for that. Mac Jones is going to know. He's gonna say, what the hell is this?
Right.
I think the guy you've got to worry about most is him. Not, and I'm not talking about as a player and, you know, stunting his growth, and that's all a real concern, but I think you've got to be worried about where he is mentally dealing with this.
Well, you get past the point of frustration, then it becomes, you know, sort of depression. You get frustrated up to something, and then all of a sudden, you know, okay, this isn't going to fix itself.
Yeah, but I think there's part of it that's almost unfair. You know, you've stuck me with Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. And we've had to change everything. Why? And you know, again, this question of why they're changing. You're doing it to help me? Is it to help me? Is that what this is about? I thought I picked up the offense just fine last year.
You picked up the offense great.
Yeah.
That's not the problem. It was everybody else that they have to streamline it for, from my observation.
Mac Jones played football. I know he's only a second-year guy in the NFL, but he's played plenty of football to know. We got to make some progress here. We're coming out here every day. We've got to get better. What is this?
Who picked it up better?
And he's going to start looking at the coaching staff as the problem and not his teammates. That's what it comes down to.
Well, guys talk. Guys talk.
Do you think David Andrews trying to fire guys up yesterday could go the wrong way? I think it could. I think it could go the wrong way. Our player says, what are you talking about? They're trying to implement a whole new blocking scheme. You're on my ass like I'm not out here trying hard enough? What are you talking about? Right? If you're
I disagree with that. Somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to say something.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's like the players only thing. Like, get the coaches out of here. We're going to do our own practice. You know, Brady used to do it. It's a sense of urgency, I think. You create sense of urgency. And maybe David sees it and too much mulling around and, you know, we're not going at it enough. F it. Let's stay out. Let's get this right. Like, how many plays did they run? I don't know what they did. I wasn't here. But that's a guy that's been there and seen everything. Like, that's the guy I wouldn't get rid of. He's one of the guys that you can basically trust in the middle of your offense. You need David Andrews. I wouldn't trade him.
Here's my question about the AFC East. And the question is, are the Patriots closer to the Buffalo Bills or are they closer to the New York Jets in this division?
Feels like they're closer to the Jets.
Wow, you didn't even hesitate to answer that question.
Well, Buffalo's stacked and loaded, dude. They have Von Miller. Von Miller went there.
I know he did. He thinks he's going to go win a ring
that
there.
That defense, you got the same defense back this year, plus Von Miller to it. Like,
it's not even a debate?
Come on.
Okay. I mean,
right now, no.
I feel like right now I'd have to say Jets, but damn, that hurts. That hurts to have to admit that.
It's fact. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, that's what you are on paper right now. You're out every day seeing it. I mean, people at Buffalo's camp, they're riding high. Buffalo's earned that spot right now. They kicked your ass last two times. You never punted. You're only as good as the last game you played against them.
All right, 617-779-0985. Phone lines are open. You want to talk about training camp so far for the Patriots, their offensive problems, we'll do that. Also, let's get into this Chris Sale story and whatever the hell it is that just happened to him again. Another injury for him off the field, this time falling off a bike. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Gillette Stadium.
Touchdown, Patriots!
It's New England Patriots Training Camp 2022, presented by Safety Insurance on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Also brought to you by United Construction and Wind Waste Innovations. Now, from the practice field, Scott Zolak and Mark Bertrand.
Bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle.
All right, why are we playing this? Well, for Chris Sale, of course.
Like, what? Could you imagine being a member of the Red Sox front office and getting this call?
Trying to see if I got the email.
Would you even be surprised?
Trying to see if I got the announcement from the Red Sox.
How about they actually put it in print, put it in an announcement?
I don't think I got it. Spike. I don't think I got that email. Oh, you got it? Oh, they put it out on Twitter. So maybe they haven't emailed it yet to the press.
Read it verbatim, please.
This is incredible.
It is.
On Monday, August 8th, Boston Red Sox left-handed pitcher Chris Sale underwent an open reduction and internal fixation of a right distal radius wrist fracture. The procedure was performed by Dr. Matthew Liebman at Newton Wellesley Outpatient Surgery Center in Wellesley.
Outpatient, nice. Ooh.
Sale suffered his injury during a bicycle accident on Saturday, August 6th. He will miss the remainder of the 2022 season, but is expected to be ready for the start of spring training in 2023.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that day.
I didn't. Oh, sorry, Jim. This is your iPad. Thank you for that. I didn't expect him back. I don't think anybody expected him back. But the question is, wasn't Chris Sale rehabbing from surgery on his finger?
What's he doing out there riding a bike when he's got a broken finger?
That's my question. He had surgery on July 18th.
No handbrakes on that bike?
Last time you rode a bike.
I mean,
seriously, when's the last time you freaking rode a bike? Honestly.
And I'm not opposed to bike riding, but it's been a while.
It's been a while for me. No, I actually rode in vacation in April.
What's the date here?
We were at the beach.
July 18th was how many weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? Yeah. Is that right? Is that right?
Did he, like, go ass over tea kettle? Like, head over the handlebars?
Three.
Or did he just fall to the side like Biden?
22 days ago.
Well, that's one that he did.
22 days ago. He had surgery on his finger, on his hand. 22 days post-surgery on your hand? You're out riding a bike?
It must have a coaster brake.
He had catch for the first time at BC, so he was just starting to actually, you know, do something with the baseball again.
He's getting cocky, and he said, I'm going to do a little more physical activity.
So, man, that is crazy. At least this one's on his non-pitching hand. This is on the right wrist, not the left. So that's good. So now he's got a healing broken finger on the left and a broken wrist on the right.
When the news came in, look at Milliken.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Look at this. Milliken with his head down. The news
I know. Glad Sheen tweeted out a great screenshot of that.
His lifeless body.
Just limp after George just took everything from him yesterday.
I don't even know what to do with this guy.
He's the worst signing in Boston sports history.
It's one of them. This contract really is going to prove to be one of the worst this team's ever had.
I mean, the easy thing, everybody kicks Carl Crawford to the curb and that, but if people bring up David
Crawford's deal will always be worse.
You got something from David
Price. No, but the deal themselves will be, the Crawford deal will always be the worst.
Right.
Crawford and Sandoval are Sandoval's one and one A, yeah. Whichever one you want to give. This one's in that, not the original trade and acquisition, the re-upping of Chris Sale.
I just can't wait for the commentary from him, for the woe is me. Trying to get some exercise. I'm out with the family and took a bad fall, and it's just my luck.
Well,
it's my fault.
I think the question is, where were you riding the bike? Like, if you're riding down, you know, a street, isn't that a little different than, oh, you know what? I was actually biking up in the mountains of New Hampshire.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to say he wasn't doing that. I'm going to say this is like a casual stroll bike. Or he fell off a Peloton.
No, it's different if it's like, oh, I was riding out in front of my house with my kids. and it, you know, something free.
But if he's,
you're still going to say, what the hell were you doing?
But if he's throwing his bike on the back of a chairlift at Killington and going up to the top and then, you know, racing down the trails.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's that's a, like downhill mountain biking at ski resorts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I knew, yeah, I didn't know if, like, they'd go all the way to the top like that. That's up a ski lift and everything, huh?
Yeah, I'll take you a hell of
You should try with your kids.
That's why I mentioned it. I said mountains of New Hampshire. I did know that they do that up there.
Oh, you're not going to go hella biking. We can do all kinds of stuff.
Well, don't you want to know that detail? Were you hella biking or were you riding down a street in Newton?
I don't even know.
What were you doing?
You know what?
That's great.
I mean,
this is so great.
Between the three of us, because I don't know how you guys grew up, that's all we did was get out and go out and ride our bikes. I can count on no hands the number of broken fingers sustained by me and my friends throughout years and years of bike riding, miles a day, every day. We used to take our bikes up into trees and jump out of it. It's like, how do you break your finger riding a bike?
How do you break your finger riding a bike? I told you the first time I got in a bad accident.
Was it his wrist or his finger?
Was when I got hit riding a bike. Remember that?
Oh, that's right.
Remember that story? Yeah. I told you guys that story.
You can break a wrist riding a bike.
I never broke a wrist. I got thrown like 15 feet when that happened.
How many times do you break a wrist riding a bike anyway? It's like it doesn't sneak up on you like when you're skiing or even on a like if you're out there rollerblading.
You know what you
I can understand a broken wrist. How do you break your wrist riding a bike?
It's because you're doing something in the again. You're biking down the mountain somewhere.
Something's off with this cat. They got to do some sort of bone density scans or graphs on him or tests. Like, he broke his back pitching. Like, he's always breaking things.
22 days after having the surgery, he's out there.
I'm serious. Like, his bone density can't be that of a normal person. I could literally punch that.
Maybe he needs to take, like, a Tums every day for the extra calcium.
Yeah.
Didn't he hurt himself sleeping, right? Wasn't that one of his things?
Tums with calcium.
He needs more milk.
I was just saying back here, the upset of everything is that he didn't get hurt in the dugout tirade.
Right? Which was a legitimate concern.
Yeah.
I have a hard time keeping all the sail injuries straight. Milliken, didn't he get hurt sleeping once? Wasn't that one of his things?
Yeah, he slept wrong, right?
Oh my God.
He slept wrong.
Well, I've done that.
I was
very hurt by my sleep.
Crooked neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. He slept wrong.
That's an all-timer, though. Then they put it in print and tweet it out. After the year they're having. Whew. Imagine, hey, seriously, though.
What?
Imagine if they were actually playing good ball and they were counting on him. And this happened. Like, it's funny now because they're out of it, you know, and they're just a laughing stock. But as if they were actually in this thing.
I don't think that they're a laughing stock. I think there are things that are ridiculous and laughable about the team. Jaron Duran at the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.